Seated, so that's good. Please be patient with me. I'm out of practice, but it's good to be back with you guys. Especially to be here with my confirmands. Some of these kids, I've known them for 8 years. You know, they were little tykes coming up for children's sermons and all that kind of stuff. And it's so cool that I get to be here with you all. So I'm glad. Well, let me see if I can get on the right page, though. David, I may need your help up there. Okay, the next one. All right. So, the theme for our preaching this season of Easter, when today's the last day of that, is this changes everything. And this is the last day of this Easter season, Pentecost, so as we said, what is it? What changes everything? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. This is a window from my home church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I was up there for a few weeks with my dad and celebrating and got to back go to the church where I grew up. And this window helped me get through many of a boring sermon, you guys. I mean, you know, I know how it is, you know? And in fact, if you look up there, it doesn't look like there's little zippers at the top of the windows. There's 10 of these windows in that church. So I sat there counting zippers and wondering how they zip those up to get these pictures out of them. You know, just to thank God I had something to do during those boring sermons, you know? Well, you get to go through one today, sort of, but this one's for you guys, especially, and for all of us. But so if this is the case, what does this mean, you know? How does this change everything? Well, it changes how we see life as Christians, right, you guys? It changes our meaning of our life. It changes our direction. It changes how we see death, even, as Christians, right? It changes what we fear, what we hope for, what's important to us. It changes how we spend our time and our money, because it does change everything. Now, for several years now, David, do you want to play with this? See if you can get it to work right. The other David, flip forward, would you please? Thanks. You guys, since you were baptized, some of you were baptized as infants, some of you later on, but ever since that time, you've been learning what about this life-changing power of Jesus Christ, right? That's what we've been about for the last 2 years. And your mentors and Pastor David and Patrick and I have been working with you to help you understand what is the heart of this message. And how I want to talk about it today is you've been learning about God's yes to you, right? When you were baptized in the water of baptism, God said yes to you. So what is your confirmation day about? It's about you saying yes back to the God who has already said yes to you. That's what this day is about. You saying yes back to God who has already said yes to you. All right? And so it's your last lecture from me for a while today. So you got notes there. Everybody has notes, those triangles. We're going to use those in just a minute. So how do you do this, saying yes back to this God who said yes to you? If that's what you intend to say today, you know, saying yes back to God, you can still back out. You know, you got a few minutes to do that. Just like Prince Harry and Meghan yesterday could have backed out at the very last minute. The priest gave him a chance, you know. But if you intend to say yes back to God who's already said yes to you, there are some ways that the church from way back to early times has done it to do this. And here it is. Oops, back another one. There you go. Thanks, David. This is how we say yes. There's three parts of it to keep it simple for us. And so repeat after me. Growing together in faith, centering in Christ, and serving God's world with love. Now, that just happens to be our mission statement at Lord of Life, right? But it's kind of wild that the Spirit led us to pick a mission statement that covers all three of these areas of how we say yes back to God when we're wanting to do that. So we're going to look at each one for just a little bit here. So the first one is growing down the lower left there. And what I want to say about that is, you know, we're always learning something. You know, your learning doesn't just stop today, you guys, because, okay, I've got all the answers to the Christian faith in my life, right? This is a lifelong journey. You're always going to be learning and studying something. In fact, did you know that your brain takes in 34 gigabytes of information every day, just your brain? That would kill our laptops in 1 week. Think about that, 34 gigabytes. You know, all that information that gets into us through all of our senses, what we hear, we taste, we touch, we smell, we experience, all that stuff, 34 gigabytes. So we're always learning something, right? Yeah. Well, I'm still learning a lot from my dad. So I was up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin with him for a couple weeks. And I drove this car up there. This is Emily's midlife crisis car, her Mazda Miata, that had a big rust hole right by the back wheel there, really. And I've been avoiding fixing it, and I thought, I need to take this up to my dad. So it was part of my journey to work on this car up there. And I kept avoiding it because I thought, oh, I don't know how bad this hole's going to be. It's going to be, oh, do I have to replace the whole rocker panel? What? So I was sitting inside his kitchen one morning after we'd had breakfast. I said, oh, Dad, I'll just have one more cup of coffee. I got to think this through, right? And in the meantime, here I hear this grinding noise out in the driveway, and here's what's happened. Here's my 90-year-old dad. Look at that huge hole. And back to the backslide again, David. This is what it looked like when we were done then. Look at that. It's sitting out here. It's not too bad. And my 93-year mother-in-law was so excited about this that she drove back all the way from Kansas City to Houston with me last week to celebrate her daughter's 70th birthday. Isn't that cool? Well, what did I learn about this? From my dad, I keep learning stuff, and what I learned was, you know what? You can't just sit around and try and figure stuff out. Sometimes you have to just do it. That's what he does. You just do it and follow through, and look what happens. Good things happen when you just do it. So again, we're learning all the time. So how to make your growing in faith intentional? You know, you have a Bible study plan by yourself, you guys. You got to figure that out for yourselves. And you have Bible study together, sometimes with Patrick and others and with your families. You do that stuff. You have an intentional plan because your brain's taking in stuff, and you could watch the news 24 hours a day and let that determine what you're going to take into you. Or you can make choices about what's going to come into you. And that's part of what we're called to do as Christians, right? So you have to keep asking, like Martin Luther asked, what does this mean, right? He kept asking, what does this mean? All your life, you're called to ask that. Now, if you think you know it all already, because you've been confirmed today, let me remind you something. A friend of mine, Janis Rosenthal's, this is Janis Rosenthal, at an earlier age, he was one of my professors at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, and he was really old then, 65. And anyway, Janis Rosenthal's a little before this age. He and his family were Latvians, and they escaped. They were refugees from Latvia. They barely escaped under the barbed wire, literally, when the communist era started in Eastern Europe. They came from Latvia. They crawled under the fence somewhere, and they all got out except their six-year-old son was shot and killed underneath the barbed wire that day, that night. And it was so horrible. They had to leave their, can you imagine? They had to leave the body of their six-year-old son laying there under the barbed wire so that they could still escape. You know what I'm saying here? And so how did Janis Rosenthal deal with, and you can see the grief in his face a lot of times. He'd talk about his son, not whining, but just the reality of this loss in his life and the loss of what happened in Europe. How did he deal with that? By studying the Gospel of John. All his life, the only course he ever taught at Luther Seminary was the Gospel of John. That was it. And in fact, I had his class for one semester. You know how far into the Gospel of John we got? Chapter 1. That's as far as we ever went. You know, there's so much to the Bible, and he spent his whole life studying it, and it was still a mystery to him when he died. He was still learning about the Gospel of John. So if you think you know it all, think again. Or the next one. Herb Brokering is another mentor of mine, and he was a professor at Luther Seminary. He was a playful, fun-loving character. In fact, he wrote a lot of hymns. Do you know the hymn, Earth and All Stars, Loud Rushing Planets? He wrote that and 100 other hymns. Always delighted and looking for what's God doing or what does this mean? Where is God alive and active in the world? He was always doing stuff, crazy stuff, to demonstrate that. Always teaching and learning, fresh, full of discovery about what God's doing. So, that's the first way you say yes to God, by growing, right? Growing together in faith, studying, learning intentionally. The second way, well, if you look at your triangles, what's the top one? What's that word? Centering. Centering, which has to do with our worship life. There's a lot that we can say about worship, and Pastor David and I as pastors will talk about this a lot because we think it's so important. This is my home church where I was bored week after week and at your age because my parents made me go to church. But you know what the window is that's up there? It means a lot more to me now when I go back there. It's Jesus pulling Peter out of the water during the storm again. Week after week, I went to church, and there was Jesus pulling Peter out again, just like he has to pull me out of the storm-tossed seas time and time again in my life. And it means a lot more now. But any rate, worship. Why do we do that? Well, because we have this incredible God who has said yes to us, but the culture around us doesn't teach us that. You have to be somewhere where you learn this because it's contrary to the truth of the gospel, right? And so we have to keep coming back and hearing about God's word for us and God's intentions for us because we forget otherwise. And it's hard enough to keep a worship, spiritual life going just by worshiping every week, you know? But what else does it do? It keeps us self-aware of how is God working in my life. How did God work in my life last week? I come back here to reconnect with the most important relationship in my life, in your life. What is it? Your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. That's the most important relationship. More important than family, more important than friends, more important than your career. It's this, your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. No relationship is more important. That's why we do this. And we always have this great music here. We do a lot of stuff like that, and it's wonderful. But we come here to be hearing God's word and sharing his supper time and time and time again. You know, and we find out, you know, it's not about you and me. We talk about, oh, what am I getting out of worship? I'm not getting much out of worship. You know what? It's not about you. This is about worshiping God, the God of all creation, before whom we should kneel in awe and wonder and say, thank you, God. That's who you worship. It's not just for me, and I'm bored, so I don't want to do it. It's God calls me by his action of saying yes to me and all creation to get on these steps and kneel sometimes because it's just amazing what God's doing for me. That's what we're doing in worship. It's not about me. It's about standing before God, kneeling before God in awe and wonder. Now, a lot of people will say to you, and I'll say to you, I love worshiping out in the woods, out in nature. That's one of my favorite places, so show this. This is where I sit up near Lake Livingston when I go deer hunting. It's one of my favorite deer stands, and this is what I see. And it's so cool because we get out there in the dark and we see the stars, and then you see the light start to break in, the dawn, the sun shining, the birds singing, and I sit in that same place all day except for a few breaks and watch creation happen before me, and it's incredible. But you know what? Never once when I've gone out there hunting has a tree pronounced to me the forgiveness of God on my life. Never once. Okay? Never once has a deer racing away from me when I missed it stopped and said, oh, here, let me offer you the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never once has that happened. You hear what I'm saying? You do this because we need this in our lives. You know, otherwise we have to ask ourselves, if it's not this God who we're worshiping, what God am I worshiping? Success? Money? Family, friends, you know, my place on the football team. Because you see, like Luther said, when we don't get this, when we're not worshiping the God of all creation, we're worshiping some other God. That's what we're doing. All right? So that's the second way in your little triangle there that we say yes back to God, centering. Now, what's the third one? What's that big word? What? Yeah, there you go. Serving action, right? Serving God's world with love. And what's that all about? Well, that is about this thing. I've done this with you kids before. You know, when you make the sign of the cross, what is that about? Our faith is not just about me and Jesus. It's not about that. Our faith is about me and Jesus and my relationship with everybody else. See that? Sign of the cross, me and Jesus, and me and everybody else in the world. All right? And when we're serving, we're living out of the cross-shaped life like that. Every time you make the sign of the cross, you do that. You're remembering Jesus and me and all my brothers and sisters in the world, even those who don't believe in Jesus. I'm here to serve them, right? So then, what happens next frame? Oh, back up again. Yeah, there we are. Look at that. So you guys, you have been in confirmation during this time of horrible floods, right? And almost every one of you I know has been involved in flood remediation and had a good time doing it. That's so cool. You know what that is, to serve and to be fulfilled serving, don't you? And you know what? If you can't do that, there's other things you can do. For instance, the next frame, one of our shut-ins, our homebound women who is in her early 90s, can't come to church anymore because she can't get out. You know what she does to serve? She writes notes of encouragement to people, and then she has one of her neighbors take them to the mailbox. You understand what I'm saying? For your whole life, how are you called to serve, right? So, those are the three ways that we're called to say yes. Now, so this is a good thing to think about this, guys, because this is a lifelong process, as I said. So in the saying yes back to the God who said yes to you as his disciple, that's what you're saying you want to do today, if you're still going to say it. Remember, you still have an out. You don't have to commit to Jesus Christ today. In the saying yes, all your life through, I'm going to challenge you to look at your life at various points and see if one of these triangles needs some attention in your life. Okay? For instance, growing. So if a Bible verse is like that rings hollow, or you've come to a place where you go, I don't believe this stuff anymore, I'm an atheist now, so I don't have to pay attention to this. You know what? There's a lot of people like Janis Rosenthal, who crawled under the barbed wire and left his 6-year-old son behind, laying in a pool of blood. There's Herb Brokering. There's Mother Teresa. They're all the saints for 2,000 years who've struggled with what does this mean and how the Bible fits in their lives and what it says to about us and all creation. If you're saying, this is, you know, a bunch of junk, maybe it's time for you to study and say, wait, I must be missing something. Because all these other people have lived and died for the sake of this truth. What am I missing? And find some way to study and search until you get an answer. Or, if you're too busy to take 1 hour a week to come here and worship God, you got to be asking yourself a question. What God am I worshiping? Because it sure isn't the God of all creation if you're not showing up here. It's some other God. If other things are your priority, you're worshiping something, but it's not this God. Okay? So you got to ask yourself that if that's out of whack. Thirdly, you know, if it's like, I don't have time to help other people, I'm sick and tired of that, you know, it doesn't help people anyway, and you're getting cynical, sometimes you get burned out and cynical as a servant, right? You need to go back to this. What am I missing in this cross-shaped life? Ask yourself that. What am I missing? And all through your life, you get to keep asking these questions. And you know what? That God has already said yes to you, is going to keep saying yes even when you don't say yes back until you finally do. Because God said this in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this is it. If this changes everything, how will you let it, you kids, keep changing you?